Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 92 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
92?
I know.
Every time, it shocks me.
I mean, we have fans, and we have the drive to do it, so I guess we should keep doing it.
That's right, and doing it we shall. Hey, are you having problems with the iTunes feed of the show?
No, because I don't use iTunes to get any of my podcasts.
I just want to start this off up front by telling our listeners that do get the show by iTunes, let me know if you're seeing any issues. Some folks were telling us that they updated the artwork, and then other folks like myself can't even get the show at all through iTunes.
Okay.
So, you know, pass it along. Let people know if they're having iTunes issues, send them to us, and we'll fix the problems.
Okay, cool. So how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I'm trying to think what happened this weekend, and it's all a blur.
I know the man broke his first popsicle stick. I saw that.
That's right. That's right. He's one step closer to being the real Hulk.
Yes, he is. You better watch yourself. He'll crack a piece off on you if you're not careful.
Well, today, before the show started, and actually for the last couple days since this weekend, you know, obviously the Hulk is numero uno. But it's been a lot of him walking around the house and saying as much as he can, I'm Batman. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. And then, of course, there's a YouTube video clip of, every time in a Batman movie or a popular culture or what may have you, that someone said, I'm Batman. And we watched that video 20 times before we started recording today.
Oh, that's nice. So at least you have it in your head.
I do. So how about you? How was your weekend, my good man?
Just a big weekend of moving stuff around, getting, stuff cleaned up here at Rancho Roker, trying to, get my comics in order and stuff like that. That's what I've been doing lately. But it's fun. I never get bored with something like that.
So I know, they're not a sponsor or anything, but I know you have your books up on Stash My Comics like I do.
Mm-hmm.
I turned you onto it. I turned our good buddy DJ onto it. I turned another friend of mine, Shane, onto it this weekend. We were going back and forth with our pull lists. And he was, I'm not sure if he was shocked or appalled or disgusted by my organization.
I think it's all of the above. And I'm starting to lean towards, I got to get a little more organized with my pull list. We were even discussing it. So we'll see what happens.
Listen, the offer's on the table. My services are available to anyone who would like me to organize and remind you of your pull list, keep track of things. It's what I like to do. I'm already doing it for, myself and our buddy DJ. I'll do it for more people.
I know I need those PDFs you were going to send to me.
Oh, I forgot.
That's okay. There's no hurry. I mean, I'm only spending a lot of money. But,
So what's going on in the news, my good man?
Oh, we have creators leaving books, and this time they're not at DC.
What?
Yeah, that's just crazy, isn't it? We also have a very divisive writer on the show who critiques the ending of a classic story. And what's, there's cancellations at Marvel, and then are other books canceled? We'll find out about that. We have what we read last week. I think we cross over on just about everything, but you have a gun to my head to review Infinity, and you didn't read that, right?
That is correct.
So we'll get around to that. We're having what we look forward to this week. I don't know if we'll be the same because this is a weird week,
I don't think we're going to cross over on this one, but that's okay.
Right. And then we have our Twitter question, which is what artist do you think should be a national treasure? This one was a little hard for me, but I eventually came around.
See, for me, I had to do some research just because I was in between like one or two different guys. But there's one specific person that came up, and I'm surprised that none of our listeners chose this person. And I think it just goes to show how old I am.
Ah, okay. Is it the guy? Is it Bob Kane?
No, it's not Bob Kane. Okay. Oh, I listened to a. There's a book out that kind of decries Bob Kane's involvement with Batman, kind of saying that it was more Bill Finger than anything.
Yeah, that rumor's been floating around for a long time, but go ahead.
There's a whole book about it now, so it's like, here's all the lies and inconsistencies, but no, it's not Bob Kane.
Okay.
So where would you like to begin with the news?
How about creators leaving books not at DC?
Yes. So it was announced that Matt Fraction is leaving both of the Fantastic Four books. What was he doing before the big Marvel Now relaunch? He was doing, what, the Avengers books?
Matt Fraction? I don't remember.
He was doing Iron Man and something else.
Right. I know it was Iron Man, and I don't remember the other book.
Okay, and then he took over both the Fantastic Four books. The FF book was the Crazy Team, you know, with the Mike Allred art. And they said that with the big Inhumanity story arc with the Inhuman series that's coming, I guess, in December. It wasn't in the November solicitations. That is priority numero uno. So Fraction is giving up two books at Marvel to take care of this big project.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that means it's a pretty big deal if he's given up two books to do one.
I would guess, because I, you know, I don't know what FF sells. I don't know what Fantastic Four sells, but I'm only reading one of them, so that's probably be, depending on who comes on to Fantastic Four, I'll probably stay on that book to give it a chance. But I've never been an Inhumans fan, and when he wrote, when like Hickman wrote Inhumans and Fantastic Four, I've just never been a fan, so I don't see me trying it.
The only time I really enjoyed...
Ooh, yeah, I think I know where you're going. Go ahead.
The Inhumans, well, two times. One would be the Paul Jenkins run with the J. Lee art.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that I love. That was where they sent like kids to school as like,
yes,
like what do they call that? Foreign exchange students. I thought that was a really good run.
Right, and Lockjaw's appearances in the Dan Slott Thing book.
Okay, well, that's not technically an Inhumans book then, but I like those too. So, but Inhumans, so,
yeah,
straight
I guess
up.
Carl Kessel has taken over the main Fantastic Four book, at least temporarily. We'll see if that's going to be for the long run. And then Mike Allred is taking over co-scripting chores with his brother, which is an odd choice, but I guess they're just going to continue the plots that Fraction had. They're taking over with already solicited issues 11 and 12, respectively, of both those books. And it'll be interesting to see if they do another soft relaunch with that during the next wave of Marvel Now books, or these are going to be the permanent creative teams. Now, were you still reading the Fantastic Four books?
I was reading Fantastic Four, not FF.
Okay.
Because I'm not a fan of Mike Allred's art on superhero stuff. And then I was reading the story. It was a little too out there for me. The Fantastic Four one I've enjoyed, but I think it's begun to slip a little bit. But you were saying Carl Kessel is going to come on. What, I feel like Carl Kessel is the bridge guy for the book. Wasn't he like between Mark Waid and somebody else? Who was the guy?
McDuffie, maybe?
McDuffie. He was the bridge for that. So Carl Kessel is your Fantastic Four bridge writer. But I'll try him. Like you said, I don't know if he'll be the continuing writer, but I always give anybody a chance on FF as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you reading either of them anymore? Or?
No, I tried the I tried FF because of Mike Allred's art, and I got the first two or three issues, and it just wasn't clicking for me. Like, I thought I would like the team a little bit more than I did. I don't like the kids, the Future Foundation kids.
Gotcha.
I feel there's too many of them, and it's very confusing, and too much time is spent with them as opposed to, like, your Ant-Mans and your She-Hulks and, you know, the main characters of the book, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I gave it up after, like, two or three issues, but I gave it a whirl.
Which is funny, because, like, that's what the FF book was made to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Hickman was doing it, the Future Foundation was about the kids and who watched over them. So I guess they're kind of keeping with that mode. But I could see how, you know, you get the main team in there and you're more interested in them and want to see more stories. But I liked the kid stuff from earlier runs.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned about the upcoming Marvel Now books of what they're going to be doing from there. The Marvel solicitations for November had come out, and conspicuous by their absence from the November solicitations were the Kelly Sue DeConnick Captain Marvel and the Cullen Bunn Venom. And the reason I say they were conspicuous, because their October solicit text was very ambiguous. It didn't say the books were being canceled, and it didn't say the books... Well, actually, Venom's solicitation says, "Is this the end of Venom's dance with the devil, or just the beginning?"
Oh, anything could happen now.
Right, and then Captain Marvel... It says the oversized special issue to end all oversized issues. All right, and makes you think that it's maybe ending. And then it says, find out why this is such a fan-beloved series. Nowhere in there does it say final issue, and they're not coming out in November.
Maybe they need more room for Infinity books.
I don't know. Well, somebody did tweet at Kelly Sue DeConnick, and she did say that something is in store and it is big. I did tweet at Cullen Bunn about this with my investigative journalism hat on, which we've both been wearing lately.
Oh, we have the little press in there.
Listen, I got to earn these broadcast journalist paychecks that I get from the Bobby Heenan School of Broadcasting.
Ah, okay.
But Cullen Bunn did not respond to anything in regards to the continuation of Venom. He did an interview on CBR just the other day in regards to both the new Deadpool series that he's doing and the upcoming story arc with Venom. No mention of the end of the book. So it does give me some hope that it's going to be sticking around. It's just in what capacity, we shall see.
And Cullen Bunn probably doesn't want to mention anything on Twitter after the Helheim disaster at New York Comic Con last year that you got in trouble for.
The Helheim disaster of '12.
Yes. So, yeah.
You almost single-handedly brought down Oni Press.
I did. I was worried. They almost ran me out of New York.
Oh, boy.
But
so, just some other, I guess, cancellations from Marvel, question mark, is that with the November solicitations, all of the Ultimate books are being canceled, I guess. They're being replaced by Cataclysm books.
Okay.
Cataclysm Ultimates, Cataclysm Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, so on and so forth. And they're all now three-issue miniseries. So is the end nigh for the Ultimate Universe?
We have that Hunger mini coming, you know, like still going on. And then, you know, there was all those rumors about Ultimate Spider-Man coming over to the regular Marvel Universe. So we'll see. I'm reading the Avengers one, or the Ultimates one, I obviously call it the Avengers, by Filakoff. So I've been really enjoying that now. So we'll see. It would be about my luck to get into the Ultimate Universe just as they're destroying it again.
Well, I do see Filakoff. I don't know if he is currently writing it or if at least he'll be picking it up for this Cataclysm miniseries. He's also going to be doing the Ultimate X-Men book as well.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that too. That
bodes well for him that he's going to hopefully be sticking around with whatever shakes out from the Ultimate Universe.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it's a nice time to put a cap in it. And I don't mean Captain America or Captain Marvel. I mean, it's been an experiment. It was supposed to be a jumping on point, and now you have Marvel Now, and you have all this other stuff. It's kind of muddying the marketplace by still having the Ultimate stuff out there. You got your look for the Avengers movie out of it. I think it had a good run.
I think you can have your cake and eat it too with Ultimate. You know, all those years Marvel made fun of DC for rebooting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't reboot your regular universe, reboot your Ultimate universe and have another jumping on point.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
A new Ultimate instead of a new 52 and be like, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Marvel. But Marvel wouldn't do that because they're not, you know, kind of, they don't thumb their nose at each other, DC and Marvel, at all. So,
right, they don't plan events or publish books to spite the other.
No, but I think that would be a cool idea. Like this is how you revamp a universe. So there's a possibility. You never know.
The one last bit of Marvel news was an announcement that Garth Ennis was on a podcast recently, actually Comixology's podcast. They have a podcast. Everyone does these days. Definitely check that out. Comixology's got some nice people working for them that helped me out when I had some issues with my digital books.
Mm-hmm.
But Garth Ennis was on there promoting his book Red Team for Dynamite. But he also mentioned that he has been in touch with Marvel about doing another Punisher miniseries there.
That's cool. I loved his Punisher run. I think that's what saved that character, you know, after that debacle of the Angel Punisher miniseries. And like, you know, I don't know how many people, whether it was the Max run or the regular run, you know, but just all of them were good for different reasons.
Yep. Our listener, Craig Pearson, I've been talking to him lately, trying to get him on that. I guess he had read the Greg Rucka Punisher stuff. And I told him, here's the Punisher stuff to read. When the art changes, you know, read the Jason Aaron stuff.
Where did it change-ish?
In the middle of the Max run, they changed who the artist was from Dylan to somebody else. Like, when it went from Marvel Knights to Marvel Max.
Mm-hmm. Was that the Slavers run and stuff like that?
You know what? I don't remember off the top of my head. The Marvel Knights stuff pops in my head a little bit more than the Marvel Max stuff.
Ah. Because the Marvel Max stuff I really enjoyed, too. There was some storylines. I'd have to go back. But there was one called The Slavers, and I don't know if that was Garth Ennis or Dwayne, as we murder named Straczynski.
Oh, yeah.
Straczynski was really good. Was really good. So I liked them both.
Mm-hmm.
But I would
when there's news of the Garth Ennis Punisher return, we will definitely be talking about it here.
You want to put odds on Steve Dillon's drawing it?
Well, before I do the odds, I just want to say, I'd say that's about even.
Even?
I'd say it's about even odds.
Okay. I'm thinking it's 63-37.
That's your Jimmy the Greek lock for the week.
That's the Stone Cold Lead Pipe lock of the year of the week.
That's a pretty big lock.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a couple other bits of news. I know our good buddy Ryan had tweeted this to us about what Baltimore is doing this year, and I think it's the first time they're doing it. Instead of having a preview night, they're having a reception on the Friday evening before Baltimore begins. Now, I am not going to Baltimore. That's just crazy talk for me this year. But it's an unnamed 4-star hotel, which is delightful, like delightfully clandestine.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little pricey. It's about $200. But you got Mark Buckingham, you got Barry Kitson, you got George Perez, you got Louis Simonson, Walt Simonson, Mark Waid, Bill Willingham, and I'm sure many more to be added. That is a pretty cool deal.
Yes, it is. If I wasn't already had my whole plans and my hotel taken care of coming in more in the morning on Saturday, staying overnight into Sunday, leaving Sunday afternoon, if I was coming a day earlier, sometimes Josh used to do, I would give it a try. I would, depending on the price, like I said, if I was there, I'd go, what the heck, I'll go. But that's a really cool idea because, like you said, Baltimore never had a preview night. They just had Saturday and Sunday. This is something new, something different. I applaud it. I think it's really cool.
So, if you're going to Baltimore, let us know if you're checking that out. Get some good scoops for us, eh?
Yeah. Junior reporters. That's what right. We need.
You're all deputized. Official junior reporters / broadcast journalists officially of the Weekly Long Box.
Yep. Hold your right hand up. You're all deputized.
Everybody, if you're listening, put your hand on your mobile device and repeat after us.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding.
I know. That would be awesome, though, if we had one of those. A little, Marvel Zombies or something like that.
the mighty Weekly Long Box Marching Society?
Yes, something like that.
That's not a bad idea.
We'll send you a certificate or something. You know, you send us money, we'll send you a certificate.
Gives me something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay.
So the one last bit of news before we get into all the other stuff that we talk about, books and digital stuff and our Twitter question, is, there's been a lot of talk lately about a book that's almost 30 years old, Todd.
What book could that be? And I wonder if it's anybody famous as a comic writer.
So Grant Morrison was on Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman podcast. I think it was his third appearance on the podcast. And mostly it's people who are involved with Batman in many shakes. He's had a lot of folks on who have been involved on the cartoon end. He's had Snyder on. He's had Kyle Higgins on. Paul Dini's been on multiple times, so on and so forth. But I guess in this most recent appearance, Grant Morrison waxed poetic about how he knows what the ending of The Killing Joke is and we're all wrong. So from here on out, ladies and gentlemen, spoilers for a book that's 27 years old.
Yes, I believe Grant Morrison said that the big ending is Batman kills the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. But you know what? This is me saying it with Grant. If that's your take on the ending of the book, I can't argue that. That's fine, you know. But what I think it was more the thing that bothered me was that he's like, nobody's understood it. Nobody's got it. And I'm like, I don't think anybody gets to tell somebody, like, how the book ends unless it's definitive. Like, if somebody says, like, you know, oh, they did this and you saw it, then there's no way around it. But I just didn't like the attitude of it, and it's one of the things that bothers me about Grant Morrison. So,
anything else you want to say about it?
I don't think he killed him. That's my opinion. Okay. What?
That's oh no, I was letting you have the floor to go on your Grant rant.
No, I trying to stay away from Grant rants because my doctor told me that I have to, you know, eat healthy, you know, get a little more exercise and not Grant rant. So that's why I'm trying to stay away from it. But what did you think? What's your ending to the book?
Well, it's not so much as that. Here's my thoughts on what Grant Morrison said.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what Grant Morrison said. He didn't write the book. This is his postulation about what happened, just as much as my postulation about what happened in the book is just as valid as his.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to do with the book, and the fact that he's saying that everyone else is wrong is kind of a little off-putting, I'll put it diplomatically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good story that I haven't read in some time, and I'd like to think that the Batman that I know and love did not kill the Joker. And Grant Morrison can tell me and anyone else that we're wrong, but tomorrow he'll still be Grant Morrison and I'll still be me.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I've seen the script page. You know, they've had it up online and it doesn't insinuate anything. And I'm pretty sure the artist, Brian Boland, has come out and said no. Like, that's not the ending that we had done. And then the problem that I'm going to have is after Grant Morrison, who I agree with everything you said, and you said it better than me, I wasn't trying to go off crazy, is that now people are going to go bother Alan Moore, which the only thing, I mean, Grant bothers me, but like Alan's crotchiness is legendary. So, mm-hmm. And he just loves being asked about old stories, just loves it. You could see it in every interview. So now everybody's going to go to him and try to get an interview, and somebody's going to get one someday because he's going to have a product out, and they're going to be asking what he thinks of Grant Morrison's take on the end of the Killing Joke, and he's going to be all mad. I'm like you said, it's talking about a 27-year-old book that, you know, I've heard rumblings that people mentioned that years ago that maybe he killed him and we don't see it, but I don't know. I just want to enjoy my Killing Joke when I read it. That's all.
It's still a beautiful book regardless.
Yep. Beautiful art.
Yes, indeed. So I think that covers it up in the news. I only wanted to get your words on that. I was hoping to set you off, to be honest with you.
No, I've had time to ramp down. And DJ said everything that I needed to say really loud on Twitter. So,
just some digital stuff that's available this week. You know, there's two sales going on. One is a book that I've never heard of called The Mortal Instruments, and that's on me for not have had heard of this book. I should be more in tune with all the stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently it's based on a very celebrated novel. The Mortal Instruments is the name of it, so definitely check that out. City of Bones, I guess, is the little subtitle for it. So check that out, and also Mike Allred's Madman is on sale, and that's a really fun book. I know Todd's not a fan, but it's good. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's on sale.
Cheaper is good.
Cheap is good. And then speaking of cheap, the only thing better than cheap is free, and the Marvel freebie books that are available this week would be Extreme X-Men number 1, which I think is the more recent Extreme X-Men that spun out of the Age of Apocalypse storyline from Uncanny X-Force. The Peter David X-Factor number 1, the most recent number 1, that is slowly reaching its end, I think, just in about 2 months' worth of time.
Yeah, definitely. Two more issues, I know that much.
Yeah, and Abnett and Lanning's Nova, that was all part of Annihilation and everything else like that. It's not the same Nova that's out today, but it's really good. It was one of the books that really got me loving a lot of the Marvel cosmic stuff.
Really good cosmic stuff there.
Yes, indeed. And Nova, and the Nova Corps is going to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that comes out next year. So, you know, check that out, too.
Mm-hmm. But.
So we're going to continue on here. But before we do get into the books that we read from this past week, this would be a great time to mention our great sponsor, File Transporter. It is a cloud system, but it's better than the cloud because you can actually see it and control it yourself. You're not relying on you know, the ether, if you will, to hold your files. And you could hold tons and tons of files, depending on how much you decide to buy storage-wise. All the way up to 2 terabytes worth of storage, which is about 1 million songs, as we've said here, about 40 or 400,000 high-definition, high-quality pictures. And you can access this not only from your computer, but also from your mobile device with Android, iOS, doesn't matter if you're Windows, a Mac. You can use the transporter, and it is priced to buy for you.
Yes. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go to filetransporter.com/longbox, press the buy link, and you go to connected data link. And if you purchase anything, put in longbox in the checkout, and you can get 10% off your order.
Yes, indeed. So filetransporter.com/longbox. Just go there, even click on the info button to find out more about how this awesome system works.
Yes. Keeps the mics live.
So just as we continue on here, where would you like to start with books from last week, sir?
Would you like to start with Walking Dead?
Let's start with Walking Dead.
Okay.
So Walking Dead number 113. I think the penultimate chapter before we get bi-monthly and we get the big... Well, actually, we got 2 more issues before we hit the big anniversary issue, right? The anniversary issue is October.
I think so, yes.
Yes. So, lots of stuff going on. Andrea's up in the bell tower. It's in the preview pages. You see her getting accosted by Negan's fools. We left the last issue with Negan having Rick at the end of a barrel. There is someone wounded in this, or something wounded in this.
Yes.
And what'd you think of this issue?
I thought this was really good. Once again, I love Negan. Negan's rant when he goes absolutely crazy is fantastic. And, you know, he says a few things about Lucille that I'm like, wow, just this guy is off his rocker. Carl, wow. You know, another wow. Carl does something that's super duper fun in this issue. Like you said, we have Andrea battling that guy. Once again, you know, I talked about how it was a slow run for a little bit, setting all the pieces in motion. But I think now we're full throttle. We're getting into the war storyline, and I'm absolutely loving it. And I did not see this going any way that it did, because after last issue, I thought it was over for a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to Kirkman.
Yes, indeed. So, this is a really good book. I guess this is also a good jumping on point, but I think the last couple episodes, issues of the book, have been good jumping on points as well. You know, they're part of a bigger story, but they're also kind of sort of self-contained, building up to that big anniversary issue where everything goes, you know, twice a week come October.
Yeah.
Or November, rather.
Yes. And I got to give Kirkman credit that it took him this long to, you know, do something where it's, you know, it's 10 years anniversary, doing a big thing where he could have done all kinds of, you know, color minis and backstories and blah, blah, blah. I think this is something the book deserves at this time, and I have no problem, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been really good. And, you know, I see some people talking about, like, okay, it's, you know, maybe run its course or whatever. I think a lot of people's dislike of the TV show, which is crazy, by the way, a lot of people's dislike of the TV show is kind of translating to their dislike of the book.
Okay. And I see a little bit of why they could dislike the show. There was I had problems with it, the season finale I had problems with. But maybe it is slipping over to it. But then it does, it's, I could see how they could say maybe we're going down the same roads again, because we had the governor's storyline in the prison, and now it's the hilltop and Negan. But I just don't feel that they're the same. I just feel that these are the clashes you're going to have over and over again, because people want what you want what they want. You want, some people want peace, some people want war. So I don't know. It's still entertaining to me. So, and that's what it comes down to.
Right, and it's still one of my favorite books, month in and month out. It's usually the first or second book I read.
Mm-hmm. But this was a weird week of really good books.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So before we're going to save Infinity Talk for last. We'll let you run with that, because I'll have questions for you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about Thor, or do you want to talk about Saga?
Let's go Saga first.
So Saga 13, after a four-month hiatus, it is back, and at the very least it looks to be back to being monthly, which is very good. Written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Fiona Staples. And this is almost like a prequel to the previous issue that we saw in issue 12. Kind of how we got to that point, how all of our characters got to their points where they were. And I would be remiss to say that this is a great book.
To say, yeah, if that's all you can say, this is a great book. It's fantastic, and I agree with you. It's cool to go back to see the cliffhanger, which I thought was one of the more brilliant cliffhangers, you know, in the last issue. And once again, it's just Brian K. Vaughan blows my mind with even a little scene like the way they describe the ship landing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, this was the first place my family had ever laid down roots. And it's just, I think, a brilliant way to describe a tree ship landing and other things, and the way he does stuff. And I like the way, you know, the writer of the novel that's in this book, how I think he's going to treat that character, which is kind of a nod to, like, him being a writer himself and knowing people. It's just so many layers and so brilliant, and I love all the characters and the weird things that they do that I don't mind, like, the whole thing that, like, you know, they land on the bones and what the bones do, and I'm like... This, I love every concept that you have ever put in this book. So, no matter how weird and out there, it's bizarre for me.
Right, and I even like all the stuff that's going on with the Will. They're giving him, I guess, a conscience?
Yes.
So, again, without giving away too much, because that's not in the preview pages, but I really liked his end of the book, like the last couple pages with him, what happened with him, and the characters that he's with. They're still after our main characters. But yeah, so this was kind of like a precursor to the cliffhanger that we saw at the end of issue 12, and I thought they did a very good job of kind of catching everyone up, especially with being off for 4 months, the beginning of a new storyline, and yeah, another great book.
Yes. But it wasn't my favorite book of the week.
No.
Because we're about to talk about my favorite book of the week, I think.
Yes. I guess we're going to talk about... we're not talking about Infinity, I'm sure. Thor, God of Thunder, number 11.
Right.
Written by Jason Aaron with art by Asad Ribic. The end of the most recent God Bomb story arc, but also the God Butcher storyline that's been going since Jason Aaron took over the book with issue 1 way back in November.
So I'll let you go first. What did you think of Thor, God of Thunder?
Well, you've already tipped your hand saying you liked it very much. I like this book a lot. I thought this was very nicely done. Some of the double page splashes were some of the most beautiful art I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few books that I actually went out of my way. Because, Todd, I'm not sure if you know this, but... I think the Marvel augmented reality codes are a waste of time.
Okay.
This one, though, I went out of my way to watch.
And was...
Just to kind of get, like, a little info from Jason Aaron. Like, that's how moved I was by this book.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a spoiler or anything else. You know, obviously, if you, you know... This is not the last we've seen of the other Thors.
Mm-hmm.
The younger Thor and the Thor from the future, the old man Thor, will be returning sometime.
And I am glad for that because I love the different aspects of them. And when they go back, I won't give, you know, obviously they're going to go back. But the way, like, little things that he did about what they will become and what they do and how they see things. And just the way it ended all around with, you know, our Thor and the way things were going with him and you know, saving all the gods and the way he saves all the gods. It was so intense and so uplifting and so amazing, beautifully, you know, drawn and written. The lines, like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about how good it was. And I think, like, Marvel they have a lot of good stuff in their thing, but I think this is one of the, you know, modern masterpieces at Marvel right now. This is a storyline that just this alone will sell for years and years and years in trade and hardcover and be talked about, you know, and I think that's great. And I can't wait to see more about it because he left it open with one or two things, you know, that I really enjoyed because I was actually kind of like, oh, you're just going to let that go completely. But I see why he did it, but it opens up future stories down the road. Can't say enough about Thor, God of Thunder,
No, and Jason Aaron is awesome. I'm glad he's going to be on this book for a while. I'm excited for any and all of the new projects that he has coming out. And yeah, Thor is a great book. I never cared about Thor previous to this, and it took Jason Aaron. He's one of those guys I've mentioned before. I will just check out anything that he writes.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked this out, and I'm very beyond glad that I did, because it is awesome.
Yes. And I'll try anything with Jason Aaron from here on out just because of it.
Mm-hmm. So, last but not least, Todd, the floor is yours in regards to Infinity Number 1, written by Jonathan Hickman with art by Jim Chung. This is the beginning of the big crossover that brings Thanos back, I guess.
Right. And just to get it right out of the way, Chung's art is amazing. Mm-hmm. On this, he just kills it. Anytime Thanos shows up, it looks beautiful. Some of the other stuff going on, it just makes everything work. But I liked this book, and that's the best that I can say about it story-wise, is because I was reading New Avengers, and I understand everything that's spinning out of the New Avengers storyline, but I wasn't reading the Avengers, the straight Avengers book by Hickman. And when those characters show up, I'm completely lost. And it's a hard read to figure out some of that, what's going on. I mean, we're not supposed to know what Thanos' plan, so I understand that there's some, you know, confusion on that. But the backstory, like I said, I don't think if I was reading New Avengers with the plot of Earth's, like, of other universes colliding, I wouldn't have known what they were doing at the beginning of this book. But I do. But like I said, I don't know what's going on with a lot of the characters he created for the straight Avengers book. Has me confused. So, but I liked it because I'm a big Thanos fan.
So is Thanos doing stuff in this book, or is this just like a last page reveal sort of thing, even though it looks as though it's centered around him?
No, he doesn't have a lot of page time in it, but you know that, you know, that's who's doing, who you're working for. And he has a plot that he's sending minions out to do, and they're after something. And you're not really, they're making it seem like it's the Infinity Gems, but I don't believe it's that. I think there's other stuff going on, and I don't know. I want to read more, but like I said, it's one of those that upsets me that I feel like I have to read the two, definitely have to read the two Avengers titles.
You definitely do?
I think so. I really do, because I'm reading, like I said, I'm kind of lost on a whole half aspect of the book. I mean, they bring you around, but it's still like, who's this character? What's this? What? Why is this? I understand the two teams, but I don't know. I think it could have been done better.
Interesting.
But as a Thanos
so
fan...
So are you going to stick with the book?
Yes, I'm going to stick with the book. I have a lot of Thanos appearances, and I'm hoping it works itself all out right. But, you know, because it'll go good in my cosmic collection. I'm one of those guys occasionally. Certain characters, I will just, you know, because it's six issues or whatever, I will really hope that it gets better. And Thanos is one of them.
Now, for the my other question is for the duration of this miniseries, are you going to pick up the other Avengers book in the hopes to fill in the gaps that you're having from this series?
No, because I feel I'm too far gone.
Hmm.
And I don't like a lot of the... Even when I read it, I did not like a lot of the characters that are in the straight Avengers book. I think, as we talked about this writer before, I think Hickman, in his new Avengers, does some really straightforward stuff with some little bit out there. I feel when he's doing the regular Avengers book, he's trying to be Grant Morrison too much and just loses me. Like, characters he's created, like ex-Nilo, I don't understand him. He, like, his motivations and the way he not that he can't understand the way he speaks, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to read this anymore. So that's the way I equate the two books.
Interesting. Now, I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned on the show last week, but I know we had talked about it. I'm going to be trying the Forever Evil book, but just the Forever Evil book. I'm not going to get the Justice League stuff that leads up to it. I'm not going to get the Justice League stuff that's going to go on, any of the miniseries. I'm going to see if I can get a good enough story just out of the Forever Evil book when it comes out in, what, 2 weeks?
I think so, yes. I think that's when the Villains Month starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I essentially have, you know, my DC order is cut in half for the month of November, or this month of September, the way everything is shipping.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know I won't be picking up as many DC books because of it, because of the Forever Evil. I counted when it was, when they were solicited, and I looked at the preview the month before, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not even close, so I'm the same way. I'll have a little room to try some new stuff.
Right, we may want to wait until after Villains Month is over before I start assisting you with your pull list.
That's what I was going to say, because what good is the Villains Month PDF gonna help me with? I'm like, I'm not, half of these books aren't going to be around after this anyway. They're going to be go back to the original ones.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So I think that covers what we read from this past week.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, Todd, most looking forward to coming out this week?
I am actually looking forward to Daredevil.
Oh.
Number 30. Just because the whole premise is Silver Surfer and Daredevil, two characters that should not be together, in my opinion, but I have faith in Mark Waid that he'll make it work. You know, like those classic stories where it's like Spider-Man versus Juggernaut or Daredevil versus Hulk. Just characters that you're like, what are these going to do against each other? Or what kind of story can you have with them? And so far, 30 issues and a point one, I think, with Mark Waid, he's made it work every time. So somehow he's going to make Daredevil and Norrin Rad be awesome.
So we live in a world now where Todd is looking forward to a Daredevil book.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a newer title. So, I mean, I like Daredevil. Let's put it that way. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Believe me, I'm happy about it. I'm glad you're reading a good book.
Mm-hmm.
And more people should be reading this book. And again, you mentioned it's like these are two, you know, on the power scale, if you will. If you're playing the old Marvel role playing game, they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. I've mentioned it before on the show. There's an issue during the Carl Kessel run on Daredevil back from like the mid 90s that got me into the character, where it was kind of like a light swashbuckling sort of book as opposed to the darkness that had been in the book for some 10 to 15 years prior, where it's Daredevil against the Absorbing Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he wins. And it's all about how he wins that I love so much. And, like, that issue is the one I could point to that made me fall in love with Daredevil. You know, sure, you know, Born Again is good, and a lot of the other Frank Miller stuff is good. But that specific issue of Daredevil taking down Absorbing Man is what made me fall in love with the character.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's radar senses and a billy club against the powers cosmic and, a cosmic surfboard. You're like, mm-hmm. I can't wait. I honestly can't wait. So,
and you said it yourself. If anyone can make it work, it's Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm. So, what one are you looking? Do we pick the same?
No,
one again?
We no? do not.
Okay.
As much as I'm looking forward to the Mark Waid stuff, both Daredevil and Indestructible Hulk, the one that I'm most looking forward to is I'm trying to angle myself either to number ones or. Indie books, and by indie books, you know, your Image stuff or your kind of off-kilter stuff. I think any of our listeners can guess what my pick of the week will be for next week already. But this week it is Batman Beyond Universe number one.
Ooh.
Which is the collection of the digital first books of the Batman Beyond and Justice League Beyond books, written respectively by Kyle Higgins and Christos Gage. And that's about as good as a creative team as it gets. And this is one of those books similar to Batman 66 and a lot of the other new DC Digital First stuff, where right as the third installment is coming out, the print collection is out. It's like almost, you know, no huge wait in between the digital version and the print version. And I'm going to stick with the print version. I'm more of a print guy.
Me too. And I forgot about that. I didn't see that book on the... Well, I don't have the PDF, so... No, it's one of those... I'm a big Kyle Higgins fan and Christos Gage, who's a Patriots fan, by the way. And,
yes.
So I think I will probably be picking that up, too. I'll have to put it on my list.
Maybe I will have to do your list for you before Villains Month. I know what books you get, and I know who you like. I can do your Villains books for you.
Ah, you could you? I would like to actually see what you would pull for me for my Villains Month.
Expect an email later today.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, yeah, so Batman Beyond Universe number 1 for me, Daredevil number 30 for Todd. I will be getting Daredevil as well, and now Todd is getting Batman Universe. Check those out, whether it be print or digitally, when they are available to you here today. I think that wraps it up for what we're looking forward to this week. Of course, you can always find the show on Twitter at Weekly Long Box. If iTunes is working for you, which it is not working for me, go there and leave a review. I'll just pretend all of our listeners are having problems with iTunes. That's why we haven't had a review in almost 2 months.
Okay, that could be.
For shame. You're not supposed to point out when you're not getting these sort of reviews, but I do. I say bring it on.
What are they going to do? Shut us down?
So, again, you can follow the show, as mentioned, on Twitter. You can leave us a good review on iTunes. Just search out Weekly Long Box. You can follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. I am L.F. Chikarison. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-S-O-N. On Twitter and also at Ymail. Just throw that in front at Ymail. And if you are not sick of hearing my voice already, you can hear my voice this weekend commentating professional wrestling for Wrestling is Fun on Saturday, a live iPay-per-view entitled Cruel Summer. And then the following day on Sunday for Wrestling is Cool, they're having an iPay-per-view entitled, and I'm just looking up the the show name, and I'm so bad at the show names. I'm good with dates. The show name is Endless Winter. Both of those you can come to see us live, whether it be in Easton, Pennsylvania, or Deptford, New Jersey. Lovely downtown Deptford, New Jersey. Or you can get them on the iPay-per-view, both under, together, $20. That's going to be like 6 hours of great wrestling action, and you'll get to hear my voice talking about the wrestling, and I make a bunch of comic book references and jokes just for myself.
Ah, maybe I'll give you some you know, fodder for some good wrestling statements. I know how much you love those.
I will do my best to work in the Alberta swindle. What was it?
The Alberta betrayal.
The Alberta betrayal. I'll try to work that into my commentary.
Gotcha.
Just for you. It's like, who's that a joke for? A guy who will never get this show.
Yeah. But you know what? It's out there. In case I ever do, then it's there. And I could be like, that was for me. Thank you,
Lenny. That's right. So, of course, getting in touch with us on Twitter is the best way to contribute to our weekly Twitter question. And our question was this past week. What artist should be considered a national treasure? And I don't mean the Nicolas Cage movie. And I know a lot of folks picked their favorite artist, and that's a great way to go, that your favorite artist is the one that you feel that everyone should respect and honor and, like, kind of look to their art as the shining example of what art can be. And our listeners were very surprisingly all over the map, which is good. We had a lot of old-time people mentioned in there. You know, Kevin Hellions mentioned Jack Kirby, of course. You know, we had a lot of people, Quinn the Eskimo, who I know is one of your favorite Twitter handles, and Mike Melkor both mentioned George Perez. We had Stiff Peg Pete, another favorite Twitter handle of yours, mentioned Steve Ditko. Our good buddy Josh mentioned John Romita Sr. We had a lot of love for Alex Ross. We had a lot of love for J.H. Williams III, which I can't disagree with. Francis Linnell Yule got some love. Kevin Burza and Neil, Wobbly Neil on Twitter, mentioned them. And a lot of new folks. Fiona Staples gets mentioned. Greg Capullo, Todd McFarlane. I'd consider them relatively new, even though they've been around for a long time. They have iconic versions of characters that pop in my head. And that's what my decision came from.
Mm-hmm.
There's iconic versions of characters that when I think of those characters, this is the art I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
I'm interested to see who your choice is.
Okay. Everybody figured it was going to be Kevin Maguire. It's not. He's my favorite artist, but, you know, but national treasure. Then I was thinking Neil Adams,
mm-hmm.
just because Neil Adams is he's an illustrator. Like, you know, like, not to besmirch anybody doing comics. Like, Neil Adams, like, does whatever version he's going to do beautifully, But when it came down to it, I had to go with two of our listeners and go with George Perez. Because when you said, you know, you think of an iconic version, George Perez, when, between working at DC and working at Marvel, has done a beautiful version of everybody. There was a time in comics when he might have drawn every character DC or Marvel ever owned. And he never, like, you could say that was the definitive version. He nailed everything, and he never skimped on a background. We always joked, like, you know, when he was doing at the shop, when, you know, you have these, like, I haven't banged on Rob Liefeld for a while. Like, you know, like, we used to joke that to Rob, blue was a background for a whole book, where, you know, you the same month you'd look at George Perez, and George Perez would have, you know, 17 characters standing in front of a brick wall, and he would draw the bricks in. It wasn't like, you know, oh, we're going to put three bricks in, now you know it's a brick wall. Put red the rest of it. No, he did it. He did two, like, between Crisis on Infinite Earths and Infinity Gauntlet and other stuff. There's no other, you know, than him.
So George Perez was my two. So you're half right.
Okay.
What you said was he drew the definitive version of every major character in Marvel and DC.
Right.
For me, it's because I leaned more on the DC side. Are you familiar, Todd, with the DC Style book?
I think I know what you're talking about. It's the one it shows you in the different positions, and this is what we want the character to look like?
Yes.
Gotcha.
The artist of that book is Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. George Perez drew the definitive version of the Marvel and DC characters, more so the DC characters, in the 80s. Garcia Lopez did it in the 70s. And so much of his imagery, the way he drew those characters, shows up in all popular culture today. Lunchboxes, toys, books, shirts, everything. It's all his designs. Here now some, you know, 30 plus years later. When I see those characters, I feel at home. I feel that those are the characters that I know. That's the Batman I know. That's the Wonder Woman I know. That's the Superman I know. He, to me, drew the iconic versions of those characters. So he's the one that today artists should be looking at what he did and trying to ape his style, as opposed to aping, you know, anybody else's style.
Yeah.
More artists should be like him and George Perez.
You know what? You're 100% correct. Now, like I said, I went for George Perez because he did, you know, pretty much at the time was the only two companies. But, you know, I totally see Garcia Lopez, because you said if you owned a Batman beach towel in the 70s or 80s and into the 90s, he drew it. If there was, like you said, lunchboxes, he was the merchandise guy. And I actually think, I may have read somewhere or talked to somebody about it, that he made more money doing the promotional, they're not promotional items, but, you know, the mainstream items than he probably ever made on comics, because his artwork was on everything. And I think that's a really cool, and I did not think of him. That's honestly, not, you know, joking around, that's a great answer. I think he deserves more credit than he gets. I mean, Perez gets a lot of credit. Nobody goes, Perez isn't. But I don't think Garcia Lopez gets the credit he deserves. And that's a great answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yes.
So, so those were our choices. I do thank everyone who contributed to our questions. And I'm sorry if I did not mention you by name, of course. You did get your Twitter mention last night. You know, follow all of our listeners, and they'll follow you back. They're all good people. So, Todd, you have a question for us for this week, do you not?
Yes, I promised you I had a question this week. This week is because I read a story online about Paul Pope talking about how, you know, joking around that DC said that they don't make comics for kids, they make them for 45-year-olds.
Yes.
Which I thought was an interesting thing, which he later came and backtracked, but then didn't backtrack on it. It was an interesting article. But me and you, we've both talked about how there should be more comics for kids. So my question is, what was your favorite all-ages comic?
Oh.
Like you know, it could be anything, you know, like from the Marvel Adventures to the Batman or Superman Adventures. There's just tons. Over the years, they've done several. Like, so pick one, you know, as long as it's not, you know, Preacher, we're pretty much good, you know?
My favorite all-ages book is Crossed.
Yes.
No. And I know exactly what you mean. So all-ages book, not cartoon, not anything else. But hey, if it was the adaptation of the cartoon, by all means, let that be your choice.
Right, because Batman and Superman both had, you know, their runs of that stuff. But, you know, maybe it was the Shazam, like the Little Shazam, or you know the books that I'm talking about. So that kind
I know
of
exactly the books you're talking
and
about,
And I think
sir.
I might know your answer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
But I don't know if you'll know mine.
I'll be very interested to see what yours is.
Okay.
So, again, I think that wraps it up for this week. Yeah. We don't have any extra interviews. I do want to thank Mike Kingston for last week's episode. His Kickstarter project, and you can catch that in the notes, did make its goal. I'd like to think that we had a little bit to do with that.
I think that's us. Yeah, no, I know. It's a good project, so that sells itself.
Yes, indeed. And this was the end of episode 92 as we continue to creep closer and closer to 100.
Yes.
So for Todd, this is Leonard closing out this week's episode of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.